What I believe is happening in this time, which is amazing, is the Lord is allowing exposure. If the people in the church, if the preachers and the pastors don't start speaking to these things, God is going to raise up another group of Russell Brands and Tucker Carlsons and Jordan Petersons and people that have the chutzpah to actually say what's going on.
P. Diddy has been in the news because of his arrest for these wild parties and a lot of other nefarious actions. And, there's a lot of things that we just don't understand from the outside. And I know, Todd, you weren't there, but you've been around this. You've heard things. You've been in the belly of the beast, as in Hollywood. So I'd love to get your take on everything that's been going on in the news with P. Diddy specifically.
Yeah. Well, John, so good to be with you. And this is something that, honestly, I've been praying for years, because when I had my experience, and I tell people I wasn't famous in Hollywood, but the Lord allowed me to see a lot of the lifestyles of the folks that were. I knew a lot of people that were famous and had a lot of friends that were famous. I saw under the covers in Hollywood as a child and all the way up into like my early 20s. And then I got radically saved. But I really believe God allowed me to see that because, number one, there's a plumb line from Hollywood to government. What do you mean, Todd? Well, what I mean is that there was this thing called the Church Commission and Operation Mockingbird. And if you look that up, you'll see that this is not conspiracy, that there was absolute ties between the media and the intelligence community and propagandizing and using that for their advantage to push forth an agenda. And so that was what the Church Commission was about. You can read into that and, you know, Operation Mockingbird. But many, many years later, let's fast forward to 2024. And why are we seeing things like the NXIVM cult? We're seeing Weinstein, we're seeing Epstein, and now P. Diddy. And this is what many people, it's kind of like the thing that you don't talk about, you know, especially if you don't want to get blacklisted if you come from Hollywood. But it's a very well-known secret, okay? It's a very well-known secret. And that they have these sexual parties that people are asked to do things that they really oftentimes aren't comfortable with in order to get somewhere in the industry. You talk about the casting couch and, you know, there's just been a lot of stuff like that with children for many, many years. And so it's all what I believe is happening in this time, which is amazing, is the Lord is allowing exposure. And we're seeing several different areas of exposure. We're seeing it happen in the church, which, you know, that's always concerning. And it always, you know, hurts us just to see that happen. But judgment comes first in the house of the Lord. And then we're seeing it, you know, in politics. I mean, look what happened when Donald Trump came in 2016 and talked about the fake news media. You know, he really kind of started talking about things that people didn't really talk about publicly, especially somebody of that stature. And what it started doing was a lot more people started awakening. I believe many people that are watching this broadcast probably started looking into the news and how, you know, 90% of the news is owned by six corporations. And so anyway, you get into all these things and you realize there's more to the story. And so all back now to P. Diddy, you know, this is a man that it looks like he was using videotapes and, you know, different, kind of like Epstein, similar to possibly blackmail people, to control people. How deep does this web go? We know that there's a lot more people that are probably shaking in their boots right now. He was connected. I mean, you see all the pictures of P. Diddy with all these people, including Barack Obama and Oprah Winfrey and many, many other people. And so, you know, what is the level of their connectivity to this? And how many of these people have been to one of Diddy's freak-offs or one of these very perverse events and parties that he had, you know, when what was going on there? And now, just last few days, there's been several, I think it's several hundred people. It's kind of unprecedented that have come forward via this lawyer. And there's a whole bunch of other people that are now going to be pressing charges on him, you know, some of them minors. And so this is really about to have, I mean, unless something happens, and we don't know, you know, we never know these days. But if this thing's allowed to proceed and, you know, eventually more and more information comes out, I think that this is going to be a massive expose. I think we've only scratched the surface, John.
So a few years ago, we had the Epstein files. And so there was the hashtag of Epstein didn't kill himself.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I think the P. Diddy didn't kill himself is going to be starting to trend soon. Yeah. And prayerfully, because there's been so many prophetic words about this being a year of exposure. And we're actually seeing that, as you just mentioned, in Hollywood, in politics, in the church, that, you know, maybe Diddy can stay alive long enough to actually expose the things that need to be exposed. Right. But there's also an agenda that's going to try to keep him quiet because that keeps the status quo.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what happened. I mean, with Epstein, it's absolutely insane what happened. I mean, if you think about it, somebody like that should have been kept at a very safe quarters and very heavily monitored. And you would think they would have been. And how did what happened, you know, how did that allowed to be happen? You know, but it did, you know, so and then you got Ghislaine Maxwell, who's still out there. And, you know, what's she talking about? I mean, that case has been very. It seems like these cases are very suppressed. I mean, if you think about it, if it was somebody like, let's just give an example, like a Trump child, like one of the mm-hmm. Trump kids, can you imagine the wall-to-wall coverage? Even if it was Donald Trump himself, I mean, it would be all over the news every day. The talking heads would be dissecting it. They'd have movies and docufilms and everything. And yes, there are a few when it comes to Epstein and some of these things, but it just kind of seems like the media is quite biased. You know, John, it's like if you got somebody on the left, you know, for some reason their stories seem to get suppressed, you know, or somebody that they don't want, you know, the information out there. And then you got somebody like a Donald Trump or his family member and they're all over, you know, they make up stuff and it's constantly played. You know, so I think the folks, what I feel like, and this is not just Republicans or conservatives. I've talked to a lot of people in Ubers and taxis and on airplanes. You know, I travel all the time. And it's people that historically, and I noticed this election cycle more so than even in the past two, where the folks are really starting to talk more openly about this and have a frustration and feel like, you know what, it's not really Republican, Democrat. It's kind of like us against them, like this mm-hmm. elite group of people that seem to be kind of, you know, it's like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain that are running things. And what I see happening, and I think this is the Lord in this hour, is he's allowing the Babylon system to be exposed. And this is, you know, prophetic and spiritual in significance, because what's happening is people have to choose a side. And because the hour is so late, there's really no fence sitting. I mean, there never really is fence sitting that's allowed in the body of Christ, but a lot of people have kind of been half in, or maybe they've been at, like, you know, just drinking the milk stage, not really got into the meat of knowing the word and really living a consecrated lifestyle. At this time, that is a requirement. I mean, it's always been a requirement, don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is it's right now it's so overt, it's so in our face, and I believe the Lord is allowing this so that people have a decision to make. And you know, if you're going to make the decision to look the other way to all these different things, whether it's the, you know, the gender confusion with the kids or the curriculums or what's going on in the world geopolitically, or, you know, even the changes to our monetary system, that the heifers in Israel, the, you know, I imagine just go on and on prophetically about all the things that are happening. So, you know, if you choose to have your head buried, then you're just going to pretend like it's 1999. But if you have any discernment or any ability to kind of see what's going on here and actually research, you're going to find that it's not just Christians anymore. It's not just conservatives. It's folks that are just looking into these matters and are awakening. And I think this is the devil's worst nightmare, because it leads to, you know, the Bible says, seek and you shall find, knock right. and the door shall be open. If people start researching and seeking, I've had a lot of people that have come to our church that just like the fact that I spoke to the political mountain, you know, and, you know, it's really just a spiritual thing to me, but, you know, like abortion and all these different things. But what happens is they come just because of that, you know, they're conservative or they're like Trump or something, and then they get radically saved, you know? So the Lord has used this as an inroad, and I believe this is all part of the great end time harvest.
Yeah. You know, I love how you're just talking about that, how it's, you know, people are really seeking, and it's not what you would normally think of for those people. I mean, a couple of years ago, I was at a Mario Murillo event, and I know you work very closely with Mario Murillo, and actually Lance Wallnau and Mario Murillo were having this revival, but it seemed like a Trump rally, a conservative rally, but really what happened was people that had those values did not actually have the connection to the Lord. Right. And definitely didn't have a connection to the Holy Spirit. So while I was there, people got saved. And then I saw a couple hundred people get filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, like, even though they were good moral people already, they were missing those things. And so I think there needs to be a revival within the conservative movement, within the, let's just say, common sense people, you know, people that are just kind of, maybe what you said earlier, they've been on the fence. They just haven't decided, but they know which one is right. And so, you know, like just the fact that there needs to be a revival amongst people that you wouldn't think that there would be a revival.
That's
What's your experience with that? Does that resonate?
John, this is such a needed conversation. I really feel like the Holy Spirit's leading you to speak this right now. Because a lot of people say, oh, you know, you're obsessed with Donald Trump, whatever. I'm not at all. In fact, we don't put him on a pedestal. And I, you know, that really there's no political solution for America. Obviously, we vote and obviously we take a stand. But ultimately, it's the church. It's the church that needs to stand up. And so thank you for articulating this. And I hope that anybody that's watching this understands that what we're excited about and what I'm seeing is a hunger unlike anything I've ever seen. You mentioned Mario and Lance, and I've had a privilege to work with Mario pretty closely and Lance, but more so Mario. But, you know, one of the things that we're noticing either at his tent or at our events, different places, or at our church or where we go speak, is the hunger is unlike anything I've ever seen in over 25 years of ministry. And so what has changed? What's changed is the world has changed and the situation has changed. And what was once maybe more hidden in the realm of a political argument, or maybe it's just a different worldview. Now folks are understanding, hey, you know what? They're coming after parents that don't let their kids get a gender surgery. They're, you know, people are starting to see things. They're like, this is just wrong. This isn't the America that I knew. You know, what's going on? Our freedoms are being taken away. Our rights are systematically, they're coming after people of faith more. We're seeing censorship. So what does this all mean? What I believe this is all part of this revival that we talk about. And people say, what's not in the Bible? No, actually it is. It says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. And that's what we're seeing happening, is the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out. And what I'm excited about, John, is it's the people with the earrings and the green hair and tattoos and ex-drug addicts and ex-gangbangers and, you know, people that are coming off of fentanyl. These are the folks that we're seeing come to ministry. These are the folks that are coming to know Jesus. And I believe these are going to be the folks that in this great end time harvest, the Lord raises up, because they know the devil's playbook. And so that's what's going on from a spiritual standpoint. And that's why we feel this pressure. If you're a believer and you're a person of prayer and you're living out the word of God to the best of your ability, you probably feel a pressure. And a lot of folks are feeling weary because of that pressure. But the deal is, we can't let weariness grow in, you know, in our heart, because the Bible says don't grow weary in doing good. So this is a time where we have to understand who we are in Christ, the tools that he's given us in his word. And we can't focus on all these distractions. We can be watchmen. It's important to be a watchman. It's important to understand and discern the times, but we can't let the end times happen to us. We got to happen to the end times, you know? And so that's what I think. There's a shifting. There's a shaking. You've reported on it a lot. You hear a lot of prophetic voices saying similar things. Many people are talking about war. And I believe we are. I would be in a dereliction of my duty if I wasn't, as a minister of the gospel, saying, hey, it's looking like war's coming. There's serious things that are happening, but more so it's a spiritual war. And our job is to be in the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear from him daily and to be in prayer daily and to make sure that we don't let the devil take our joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen. Amen. I do want to talk about the wars that are happening right now in just a moment, but I don't want to leave this Diddy issue too long, because I want you to kind of help people understand what these parties are. And more specifically, because you said it was a well-known secret.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's an issue of discernment. People are turning a blind eye to something that everybody knows is going on. Therefore, we're not actually responding appropriately. And really, that same mentality or that same negligence or spiritual blindness has carried over to so many areas. Tell me more about what that actually meant in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, this is so important, because I don't know if you watched the debate with J.D. Vance the other day, but, you know, they start talking about guns and things like that. And, you know, I'm not going to get into that too deep. But one of the things that we never talk about, listen to the rap music that's been going on for 20 plus years, you know, talking about shooting and, you know, F the police and all this crazy stuff, women, you know, just degrading women. For some reason, the women's rights people never say anything about that, you know. Yeah. And then, you know, meanwhile, they're calling women all kinds of names. And think about it, is it the gun, or is it the society and the direction of our video games, our TV, our movies, everything that we put out? I mean, I have a 5-year-old, and, you know, from a young age, I got to watch what she's looking at on YouTube and things like that, because the content is so violent and there's so many other things that sexually and all that. So what we've been consuming as a culture, and what we in Hollywood, what they've been putting out for years has crafted a worldview and a narrative. And that's why I talked about Operation Mockingbird and the church commission, is because as a Christian, we have to have eyes to see the full picture. And so let's go back to Diddy. Why would somebody have these parties that they call freak ops? What would be the point of this? Well, there's a lot of reasons. Number one, it's like an initiation. Okay. If you're going to be in this Hollywood elite group, you basically, and a lot of people have said this and people think they're crazy, but you got to kind of sell your soul. Now, do you ever really sell your soul? No, because you're redeemable as long as you repent and turn, you know, you got to turn your heart and life and accept Jesus. So your soul is not sold. But what it is they give their members and they allow their life to allow open sin and compromise in order to get to riches, fame, you know, notoriety in the industry. And so what I noticed, John, which I think we got to talk about at this day and age, is that the folks that are the A-listers, I mean, look just down the line, you know, you can see every one of these people has given up something of their self, of their soul. You know, they've been willing to do a naked scene or you know, live in a way that's, you know, not according to the Bible. And some of these people claim to be Christian, but I've always been at the opinion, like, if you really are a consecrated Christian, it's almost going to be impossible to be a Hollywood actor. You're going to have to be like a Kirk Cameron or somebody that comes out of Babylon system, because what I've seen firsthand, and this is where I think I have a unique experience, is everyone that I've known, including myself, if you want to get to a certain level in Hollywood, you've got to pay the piper. And what I mean by that is you go to these parties, you do things that are totally grotesque and perverse, and you open up your members to that. And so, you know, the Lord protected me of that, but I was just about, I mean, if I would have stayed in there, I probably would have gone there. And that's just because it's a requirement. That's what happens. Even the young, you know, 16-year-olds are dealing with this. You know, they start drugs at a young age. They live a promiscuous lifestyle. They drink. And it's so much deeper than that. It's so much deeper than that. So I believe, and this is my opinion, is that a lot of these parties were traps. I mean, basically, you go there and now you're on film doing something with someone or whatever. And that's something that they can hold over your head. And that's the secret that no one wants to talk about. And if you come out and you talk about it, you're going to be demeaned. You're going to be attacked. They're going to make up something about you. And you may even, you know, end up like some of these other people. So yeah. That's why a lot of people don't talk about it. Because number one, you're going to be blacklisted. You're not going to be able to do movies and films. You're going to lose millions and millions of dollars. And they may go after you. And it may even be worse.
Yeah. So, Todd, I got to ask, did you have opportunities to go to something like that?
Not at that level, but, you know, in my young age, I saw parties that were similar. I mean, you know, people doing drugs and, you know, openly walking around very, you know, kind of nakedish, you know. You know, I wish I could scrub that from my mind, but, you know, I remember those things and I felt very, the way that I came to know the Lord is that I saw the darkness. And when I saw the, and I felt something, because my mom was a prayer warrior and my grandma and my grandpa were prayer warriors. And so they were praying me out of this, you know, and I came, you know, I've just been sharing a little bit more of my testimony, but I came from an abusive home. You know, my father was very abusive. He was very angry. And so, you know, I kind of went into rebellion. I'm not blaming him, but, you know, my parents didn't get along for many years. And so the thing is that, you know, when I went in that world, I thought that was success. That's what the world told me. You know, to my high school friends, I'm like, here I am rolling into a club with Carmen Electra and all these people in, you know, in our group here. And wow, you know, I mean, people in high school are like, wow, look at Todd Coconut. But I knew that I was actually living a lie. I knew that my whole life was a lie. And I would sit with some of these people, and I don't even want to, you know, say all the names because there's just too many. But the thing is, I would sit with them and I'd see, hey, this person's got the money, they've got the fame, they're broken, they're miserable. And so that was, the Lord was showing me. And so the darkness and seeing what would happen at some of these industry parties and the mansion parties and the clubs and the underground stuff, you know, it was so wicked and evil. I would actually see demons, John. I would see like demonic entities. And, you know, especially if I was under the influence of alcohol or whatever, I would see them. And so there was a few times I remember being in Vegas and I got on my knees and I just started weeping. I didn't even accept the Lord yet. This is before I even got stabbed. But the thing was, is that the Lord was showing me the darkness. And I said, well, if this darkness is real, I want to find the light. I want to, you know, I want to find the truth. And again, when you start seeking the Lord, you find him, you know? So that was the beginning of my journey. But I think so many of these people, I mean, look what's happening with, you know, some of these celebrities that are coming out of this dark lifestyle and getting on fire for God. It's like, you know, it's possible, you know, but the thing is you got to break away from this whole group.
Yeah. You mentioned people coming out of that. I mean, Russell Brand is the first person that comes to mind right
yes,
now. And
absolutely,
honestly, it has been such a joy to be able to see his transformation, especially over these last 6 months. where he's committed his life to the Lord. He's gotten baptized. Just the other day, he was even baptizing other people. Now he's on tour with Tucker Carlson. I thought it was just supposed to be like a once thing, but now he's been so popular that they have him again. But he's talking about faith. He's talking about Jesus, not just faith, not just God, but specifically Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And that is really encouraging to see somebody that, I mean, let's face it. I mean, if Jack Sparrow was a real life person, it would have been Russell Brand.
Yes.
But now he's totally sold out for the Lord. And I just pray that, you know, he continues down that path and the right people are around him, because as unfortunately we do way too many times as Christians, especially cultural Christians, we put somebody on a pedestal that came out of Hollywood.
That's right.
And now we're almost just setting them up for a fall. So what is some advice that you would give Russell Brand if you had the opportunity to sit with him and talk with him about that?
Man, these questions are so good, because what you're saying, I pastored out there in California for 17 years. And, you know, I didn't have the church the whole time as a senior pastor, but I was out there in the ministry. And one of the things that I noticed is that exactly what you said, is that somebody would get saved from Hollywood. The pastor would put them like in the VIP, you know, like a VIP section in the church. And a lot of times they wouldn't really mentor or disciple them. They'd kind of just be like, hey, guess who goes to my church? That we can't do that. We've got to make sure that we set these folks up for success. So, you know, someone like a Russell Brand, and I'm so thankful, you know, I actually have connectivity to him and people I know that knew him pretty well. And it's remarkable. This is a guy that, see, this is the kind of guy, when somebody comes out of the world and they get radically saved like that, it's the best case scenario, because he's all in. I mean, look at this guy. He's like baptizing people, you know, and he's, you know, he's dealing with, and this is the
he's hardest. In his tidy white, he's baptizing, you know, people.
Then there's some backlash about that. And here's what's so crazy is I've watched this, I've lived this, is it's when you see somebody that's so zealous and excited about what's happening, and then here comes the religious spirit, you know, and here comes, well, you're not doing this right, or isn't he part of the Illuminati, or, you know, and they start, and it's like, let this guy just get in and get solidified and show him the love and get behind him and help mentor him and pray for him. Like we shoot some of these people before they even get to, I mean, I remember when Kat Von D got saved and people were getting so angry with me. Look, I'm not saying follow her as a spiritual, you know, leader. I'm just saying, hey, if she's saying she got baptized, let's pray for her. You know, let's pray her. And if she's not really a Christian yet, let's pray she becomes a real Christian. But, you know, we're so judgmental in this hour. And I'm not saying that we let leaven in or compromise, but what I'm saying is we've got to remember the mission. The mission is that type of person. Jesus came for the sinners, the tax collectors, the worst of the worst, the prostitutes. You know, these are the folks. And this is what this revival is that folks like Russell Brand, you got, who was it that was the other day kneeling with him and praying? It was Tucker and him.
Jordan Peterson.
I mean, my goodness. See, Mario wrote a blog about this a few years ago, and I thought it was so good. It was called Stolen Thunder, something along those lines. And what it was is that he was saying, look, if the people in the church, if the preachers and the pastors don't start speaking to these things, God is going to raise up another group of Russell Brands and Tucker Carlsons and Jordan Petersons and people that have the chutzpah to actually say what's going on. And that is what we're seeing, John, is we're seeing a changing of the guard, and we're seeing like the people that are not willing to address societal issues that are spiritual matters. We're seeing even in the COVID era, you know, their ministry, their platform got diminished, you know, and then you saw the folks that were willing to stand and that stayed open and that pushed back. And these are the people, their ministry's thriving, and people are saying, you know, I can get behind this person. They may not get it right 100% of the time, but at least they have the tenacity and the boldness to speak to these matters. And so, you know, that's what I'm excited about, is there's a new generation of folks that are bold and are speaking to things that in the last 30 years, I wish we would have addressed more, but honestly, we didn't.
Yeah. You know, the Pharisees told Jesus to tell the crowds to quiet down. And Jesus responded, he said, I won't tell them that, because even if they won't speak, the rocks will cry out. And I believe what we're seeing right now in society, the church hasn't spoken up the way that we are called to. We are called to a higher standard, but we haven't been speaking up in the seven mountains, in the seven spheres, you know, whatever you want to call it, the areas of influence that God has called us to occupy until he comes, that we have abdicated instead of occupied. So now the rocks of Russell Brand and Tucker Carlson, who are not polished, they are very rough around the edges.
Right.
They are the ones that are crying out who Jesus really is. And they're doing a better job bringing people to Jesus than the church is in most cases.
Yes. So yeah. he's got to press in and just, you know, find some a good tribe. You know, that's what I had to do. I had to find folks that believed in me, that were for me. And those are the people you align with. And when you got the naysayers and the haters, I hate to say it, but they're in the church too. You got to ignore those voices. It's us and God. We've got to hear from him. We've got to have a personal relationship. Every day we've got to be in our prayer closet. Every day we got to be in the Word of God. Not because we're doing our little time clock and, oh, let me check in. Because we're getting revelation. And because it's the manna, it's the bread of life. And it's what we need, especially right now.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to talk about the war that's happening in Israel, but I want to touch briefly about what's going on in your neck of the woods. I mean, you're in Tennessee, and the Hurricane Helene has really decimated a lot of the Appalachian area, you know, along up and down there, the Carolinas. I'm not even sure all the areas, but there's so many areas that are without power, without food, without transportation. You said you know some people in there. I want to just hear what your thoughts are about that. And unfortunately, we've spent a lot of money to fund foreign wars, but now people aren't being taken care of at home. And I think that does show a bigger issue as well.
Huge issue. And there's folks, and I'm not saying this, but there are folks that are saying this could be up to 100 times worse than Katrina. And I'm like, how could that be? But I think the reason why they're saying it is because the area is so vast. You know, there's a vast area that's been affected by this. And you got cities like Asheville. It's not Nashville, but Asheville, which is in the Carolinas. And this place, like an island. I mean, the roads have been knocked out. The power's out. The internet's out. People are going to have a hard time getting gas and resources. The store shelves are empty. This is in an American city right now. And the problem is the response has not been stellar, especially from the Biden administration. You know, I saw Kamala Harris out there and she would say something like, well, we're going to give them $750 each or something. And while that's, you know, thank you. But, you know, the thing is, like, billions of dollars are going over to Ukraine. Meanwhile, Americans are right now without power, water. I know we can do better. I'm thankful for organizations like Samaritan's Purse and others that are out there on the ground. But our government, I have to say, I mean, I think they finally called in some of the military over there, but it's been a slow reaction. And unfortunately, there's a lot more deaths probably that haven't been reported yet. And that's very concerning to hear about. So I'm saddened, John, to see the response from our government. And we need to keep these folks in prayer. We're trying to do everything that we can because it's right in our backyard, not too far from where we are here in Nashville, only a few hours. So we're doing our part as a ministry. I know many others, like my friend Alan Didio, is doing a lot of work there, and some others in the area are doing it as well. Thank you know, it's the churches, and I'm thankful. You know, support your local church, especially the church that's willing to get involved in these types of things, because, you know, ultimately in the beginning of our country, it was the church that was so involved in every aspect of culture. And, you know, I love when these folks try to say, you know, oh, the Seven Mountain, that's, you know, this and that, and they're trying to, what is unbiblical about Christians occupying? What is when you look at the word ekbalo in the Greek, which is to go, it's go out, cast out, drive out. That's literally what we're meant to do as a Christian. So what part of society? Should we stay out of the schools? Should we stay out of the government? Well, then you get the mess that we're in right now. You know, you take God out of everything, and that's why we're having the problem we are. So I think, you know, what I was just talking to Floyd Brown, is a friend of mine. He owns Western Journal. And we were just talking, there's got to be more unity in the body. And I'm not saying to unify with heretics or, you know, people that are not really Christian. I'm saying for brethren, we got to stop bickering about, is a woman allowed to be a minister? And when is the tribulation going to happen? These are doctrinal variances, but they're not salvation issues. And meanwhile, right, the world is going crazy. And so I really feel like this is a time where we got to, you know, focus on the 98% that we agree on instead of the 2% that we don't, and stop bashing each other and all this other stuff that's flesh that's gotten into the body. We got to purge that in the name of Jesus and really remember that, listen, there's a spiritual battle that's going on for our nation, for our children, for this next generation. And it's high time the people of God get involved and we stop fighting amongst each other.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of fighting internally within the body of Christ, but now there's a lot of fighting externally. We've got the war in Russia and Ukraine that is continuing to go on, and the war that it's in Israel, that it's almost a year that it's been fighting solid. And the Iran has now fired missiles into Israel. The end times, the revelation, everything really centers on Israel. Are we seeing these pages turn in Revelation right now? Tell me what you think, Todd.
I believe so. I mean, you look at the Euphrates River, it's drying up. We just had friends of mine that were over there that were filming this. You got the red heifers in Israel. But even more so, you got Israel surrounded. There was just a sidebar meeting of the nations that many have considered to be what could potentially be the Gog and Magog scenario, you know, that are now aligning. I mean, you see alignments with certain countries that are now coming into, you know, I mean, look at Turkey. Turkey's a member of NATO. And meanwhile, they're siding against Israel, you know, so there's two very distinct differences between the two wars that are being fought. One's a proxy war that I personally don't feel we should be engaged in. It's really just a billions of dollars being sent over there. We've seen really no victory in it at all in a year. I mean, you could look at the line. If anything, we've lost territory there. But, you know, what is the purpose? And you know, so much resources and finances and on are being sent over there. And then you have what's going on in Israel, which is a much different situation. Israel is a target and they're a key ally. And I think it is imperative that America stands with Israel. I mean, if you know, a lot of people have been trying to change my mind on this, you know, and they say, well, you know, the Bible's not talking about political Israel, but just think about this. Okay. When the Battle of Armageddon happens, who's the Lord going to side with? Okay. I mean, we know how this ends. Yeah. So why would we ever want to side against the nation of Israel, the people of Israel? I know that there's a deep state there, just like there is here. But the thing is that we still got to follow the Bible. And Israel is part of God's redemption plan for all mankind. And so we are seeing, I mean, I wake up every morning like, which part of Revelation are we going to see today? You know, it's literally leaping off the pages. And I think it's the most exciting time to be alive. But, you know, that is a war that I believe is a spiritual war. It's probably going to continue. In fact, we know it will, according to the Bible, until the Lord gets us out of here. And even after that, but the bottom line is we got to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and we have to understand and discern these times that we're in. I think it's imperative that America stands with Israel. I believe it's one of the reasons why this country has been spared. If you think of all the things that could have potentially happened, even the last couple of months, the fact that we stand with Israel is a key factor. And if you recall during the Katrina period, they were trying to split, you know, the two-state solution, everything. And we had Katrina, you know, so it's just interesting prophetically how some of these things have played out over the years. So I love the fact that President Trump is a staunch supporter of Israel. I think that we need to continue to pray, but I think these next couple months, it's going to continue to escalate.
Yeah. You know, I was just going to ask you, you know, what do you see prophetically about that? And I think you laid out a really good case there. I mean, it's not necessarily a thus saith the Lord, but it's a, I can read this in the headlines and I can read this in the Bible and it seems to be matching up. I don't need a thus saith the Lord voice, audible voice, whenever you have it in written word. You know, Todd, these are tumultuous times. We have the exposure happening in Hollywood and within the church. We've got this weather situation that, you know, it seems like there are even more hurricanes that are forming that could be potential landfall and cause more damage. We've got an election going on. We've got wars that are going on in Israel and in Ukraine. You know, I don't want to leave this moment without asking you to just pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the peace in our hearts, and that we would be salt and light in this dark time.
That's right. And that is the most important thing, is that we have to have what the Bible talks about, that peace that passes understanding. And we know we're in this world, we're not of this world. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And God's given us promises. He says he's with us until the end of the age. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And so I want to just pray for you right now. Don't be distracted. The Lord gave me a word the other day. I'm going to share this before we pray real quick. He said, don't worry about what might happen. Because the thing is, there's a lot of videos, there's a lot of reporting, and it's good. We got to be watchmen. We got to be informed. But don't stay in that place. We got to stay in the secret place of the Most High. And that is where we find rest and peace and joy. And this is a time for us to be about the Jesus revolution, not the revolution that's happening in the world. So let me pray for you. Lord, we just thank you for everybody that's watching today. And I just pray, Lord, I thank you that you really guided this conversation. I pray that we hit points that really awaken folks and stir their spirit. But most of all, Lord, I pray for this group that they would indeed have that peace, that they would find rest in you, the shalom of your spirit, Lord God, that every day they'd wake up and say, Lord, how can I be about your business, Lord? And this is such an important time. You're raising up Davids and Esthers in this hour. You're raising up people that are about your business and have your heart. And so, Lord, I just thank you for your protection. I pray great favor over everybody that's watching. I pray blessing and abundance. While the world is going crazy, I pray they'd have their most prosperous and blessed season of their life. Yes, it can happen. your word says it, Lord. We believe that. That's your promise to your people, Lord God. And so we just thank you. And Lord, I want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I want to pray that this war is ended. I want to pray that people are spared. We thank you that even with this missile attack the other day, that it could have been a million times worse, Lord. But for the most part, it was amazing military success for Israel and the Iron Dome and David Sling and the United States. But Lord, we pray for protection for the people of Israel. We pray for protection for America. And these next couple of weeks, as we get ready to go into our elections here, I pray supernaturally that the wicked plans would be thwarted in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that the church would be as we're meant to be, the restraining force against the wicked plans of the enemy. And so I just pray, Lord God, that everybody on here would find a rest and a peace in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Todd Coconato, thank you so much for taking the time to share insight about these very critical issues that we have going on in our world today. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you for what you do. I appreciate you.